Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Isai. Before we begin with sharing some Divrei Torah about this week's parasha, Parashas Mishpatim, I thought it would be appropriate to thank everybody that participated in the campaign that we ran this week. We appreciate everybody that recognizes and that values the efforts that the yeshiva puts in to be able to provide for the Talmidim with the different incentives that we have to have, and trying to reach out to those people in Klal Yisrael that sometimes don't get the attention that they need, and that sometimes wind up being forgotten, and sometimes being left aside. We appreciate everybody that recognizes that, and Mirat Hashem, it should be a schus for everyone, their families, and that Mirat Hashem, they should always be from the side to be able to give, and not to ever have to take. Once we're on the topic of tzedakah, you know, this week's parasha talks about many, many halachas, many, 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 many dinim. I remember when I was a bacher in yeshiva in high school, so we used to have a chumash test every single week. And when it came to every parasha, it was nice for everyone to pass the test. When it came to parashas Mishpatim and parashas Kedoshim, because there are so many halachas and so many points that are so vital that are mentioned in these parashas, then you had to take the test over and over again until you passed. But most of the halachas that we talk about in this week's parasha are focused around ben adam l'chaveroi, just being able to get to understand the needs of your friend and to be able to be sensitive to the things that not to damage him, not to hurt him, not to offend him. So one of the mitzvahs that we talk about is the mitzvah of tzedakah and halva, lending people money and reaching out to people that need help with financially. The pasuk says, "Kesef talves ami esa'ani imach." Right, if there's money that you're lending out to your nation, to our nation, esa'ani imach, the ani had to be with you. So Rashi stresses a few nakudas over here, a few points on this pasuk when it tells us, "Kesef talves ami." So Rashi, first of all, tells us, "Ami v'nachri, ami kaidem." If it's a choice between somebody in our nation that needs help and there's a guy that needs help, right, the Jew takes precedence. "Ani v'ashir, ani kaidem." If you have a poor person and a rich person, the poor person takes precedence. "Ani erchav, ani ir acheres, ani erchav kaidem." If the people from your city need help and the people from another city need help, your city takes precedence. So we see that there's an issue of recognizing and realizing to take care of the ones that are closest to us, the ones that we have a relationship with, right? And not to favor the person who seems more prestigious or maybe the person that I'm going to be able to gain more from. For example, when we say "Ami v'nachri, ami kaidem," but when it's between me and a guy, that my nation comes first. I mean, most people would say, obviously, I would give to a yid before I'd give to a guy. It's not so simple. What happens if, let's say, I have a certain amount of money that's left over, right? And that amount of I have, let's say, my bank account, $100,000. And I don't know what to do with that $100,000. And there's two people that come to me that need a loan. One is a yid and one is a guy. The guy is ready to take the loan from me, giving me 12% interest on every single dollar that he takes from me, then I'm going to wind up with a nice amount of interest that I'm getting from lending him that money. And it's not a problem for me to really lend money to a guy with interest. So it's to my advantage. But then I have a yid that I know that really needs the money and I can help him. But him I can't charge interest to, right? And it's much easier for me to be able to gain from there. The Torah tells us, no. Ami v'nachri, ami kaidem. A person has to be able to remember, we have to think of our other brothers in Klal Yisrael, reach out to our other brothers in Klal Yisrael. Later on, the pasuk says, Esa ani imach. The ani has to be with you. So Rashi says, Havi mistakel b'atzmicha kilu ata ha'ani. You have to think, look into yourself and imagine yourself right now as if you were in his position, that you were the ani. You have to be able to go into his world. You know, I once used to go to a vad when I was a bacher, when I was a young girl, younger man, and from Brazil. Mashgiach, he was then the Mashgiach in Beis Yisrael. And he explained the whole idea of chesed is that you go into the other person's world. not what you think is valuable to you, and therefore put that into his world and say, oh, if I don't need this and he doesn't need that, you have to be able to go into his world and say, that's what he needs right now. That's what chesed is, living the other person's life, living the other person's world. So here, the idea of a person when he has to give tzedakah or to lend a person money, he has to be able to go into the box, into the world of the other person, and be able to think what he needs. You know, there's a few meisim that I saw that I'm going to maybe share, which illustrate the point. You know, I remember when I married off one of my daughters. So there's a minhag here I don't know how what they do in Chutz Laaretz, but here in Eretz Yisrael, when a girl gets married in a class, she sends out invitations. Even the boys do this. When they send out invitations, to every friend that they send an invitation to, they write a whole long message, a whole thing with brachas and megillas and all types of things in there, and they spend hours and hours and hours doing this. And when you're trying to prepare a chasana, right, and you're trying to get everything organized and your time is running against you, so sometimes we start to think to ourselves, maybe they should stop this custom over here, right? That, you know, writing all these long megillas and everything like that. And one time I was like, you know, it was a point where we were under like a lot of pressure with different things we had to prepare for the chasana, and I was speaking to a friend of mine. And I was talking to him, and I said, you know, it's almost like crazy how much time it takes. And, you know, Chasna Kala is so busy with everything they have to do, and they have to sit here writing all these letters over here. He said, yeah, we just have to think about the girls and the boys that are being left behind that didn't find their shidduch yet. That's something that has to warm them up. And, you know, the words just hit home. Chas Hashem, nobody's looking to hurt anybody. But sometimes we just have to realize, hey, yeah, you know, Baruch Hashem, we have a simcha that's going on. We have something that's going here. But what about the girls and the boys that are left behind? We have to be able to realize, Esa Aniyimach, what's going on with them? What are they thinking? You know, I saw a maisa brought down with Rav Pam Zatzal, the Shiva of Taravadas, which I was eichet to live not too far from when I grew up as a child. Rav Pam had a minhag that he always went to every chasana, no matter what the situation was. And he was a very busy man. He was a yeshiva. He had to prepare shiurim, and he ran a whole yeshiva. And he would make a point of going to every single chasana that he got invited to. And even at a point where he was an avil, and he was restricted from going to chasanas, he would make a point of stopping by the chasanas just to say a mazel tov, just to be by to say a mazel tov. So one of the tamidim, or somebody asked him there, and they said to him, you know, the Rosh Hashiva is such a busy person, has shiurim to prepare and everything like that, at kedei kach, to be running to all the chasanas, to be going everywhere? So he said, I have a lot of chasanas to go to, and I have a lot of things, but I have a whole list of simchas that I have to go to. But this chasana, he only has one chasana. And how much is it going to mean to him? The fact that I come in there just even for a few minutes, what I could do for that, then it makes it all worth it. And I saw a beautiful maisa brought down in from the Maril. Right? Actually, in the town of Brisk. So there was a slanim chassid there. His name was Rav Yasha. He was a sheikhet over there. And he had like a diary where he wrote down all different types of things that he had learned and which he had appreciated. He was a chassid. And he appreciated, you know, different stories that warmed his heart. And he writes in his diary, he writes a story that Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld said over that he heard from the Maril. A story about the Maril. And the story goes like this. That there was in the city of Kovna, there was a very, very poor Yid that lived over there. And he was a merchant that sold wheat. And he didn't earn that much money. He earned a couple of rubles a week. Didn't earn a lot of money. And, you know, the story I saw brought down from a Reisman. He didn't earn a lot of money. He was very, 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 you know, poor. And he lost his father. And he was an avil for his father. And eventually, at one point, his father came to him in a dream, and he said to him, listen, I came up to Shemayim here, and I need a tikkun. I need something to fix my neshama here. There's something that needs tikkun. And they put me back into this world in the form of a black ox. And a cow, a black ox. And I'm in a certain city, in a certain Polish city, by a certain guy, this is the name of the guy, lives at the end of the village, and it's about, two kilometers, a mile and a half or so from the city of Kovno where you live. I'm asking to do me a favor now so I can have a tikkun. If you go there and you get the guy to sell you this shor that my neshama is in right now, and he's going to ask you at first for 80 ruble and try to get him down to 40. And if you bring the shor to Kovno and you bring it to the sheikhet, a sheikhet that's a kashra sheikhet, and the Rav is there to testify to the, to the Shechita, and to say Amen. There's a Mariel, right, who's there to testify, and the Rabbanim are there to say Amen on the Bracha of the Shechit. And they take the Basar, and they give it out to all the poor people. That's going to be a tremendous tikkun for my neshama. So if you do this for me, that'll be such a big tikkun for my dear son. Now the merchant woke up from this, and he says, sometimes, we have dreams, all dreams that personal Gemara tells us that it all goes based on the thoughts we have during the day, or just Hastamim, it's something that's, just the thought that he had from thinking about his father, and he dreamt about him, doesn't mean anything. And he had the dream quite a few times, and he just pushed it aside. One day, he's davening for the Amud, and he faints in the middle of davening for the Amud. And the Talmidim came over to him and said, What's the matter? He says, I'll tell you. My father came to me clearly in the middle of my Shemoneh Esrei. I was in the middle of davening, and he started to push me about this whole idea over here. I don't know what to do about it. So they all decided they're going to go to the Mariel, who was the Rav. And they came to him. They told the whole story to the Rav. The whole story with the shor, with the axe, with the 40, the 80 ruble, the 40 ruble, and the end of the city, so on and so forth. And the Mariel said to them, right, even if this dream is true, right, which it's very possible this dream is true, but your father never told you where you're going to get the money to pay for this. This person, he turns to all the other people from the community that are with him there, and he says, this man doesn't have any money to pay for this ox over here, even the 40 ruble, he doesn't have that money to pay. How is he going to, even if the father told him to do this, how is he going to ever do that? So all the people that came to him from the shul, that came to speak to the Rav together with this Yid, they were very inspired, very passionate about the whole thing, and said, no worry, no problem, we're going to get the money together, we're going to put it together, we're going to get the 40 rubles for him. But then the Rav turned to the people from the Kehillah, and he said, you understand, this is going to take time off from his work. He's going to have to travel to this city over here. He's going to have to deal with the person who has the cow. He's going to have to bring him back. That's going to be a week's worth of work for him, going back and forth, and he's going to lose that. Besides for the 40 ruble that he has to pay, he's going to lose a whole week's parnassah, and that's what he survives on. So how's he going to live? So they said, you know what? We'll take care of that too. So then Mariel turned to the son, and he said, listen, I'm just going to tell you right now. You have the money here set aside for you now. The people are willing to pay for your the 40 ruble. They're willing to pay for your week's efforts and for your work. So you shouldn't have a hefset of money over here. But I want to let you know something. You have to realize this is money from tzedakah, and it's only given for one purpose and one purpose only, that you should be able to bring a tikkun to your father's neshama. So you have to be very careful before you do this. You have to make sure that every detail that your father told you in the dream, that it had to have been in this city, to this guy, and this edge of the village, and there has to be a black shore, and it has to be the whole thing with the 80 rubles, and then go down to 40 rubles, and so on and so forth, and know that every single detail is true. Because if every single detail is not true, you're dealing with mammon of the tzibur, and you really are not allowed to have that money, and you have to give it all back to them. So you have to make sure that everything is 100% true. She said, absolutely, absolutely. They went to the city, and they came to that village, and they asked about this guy which they directed to, and they came there, and he really lived at the edge of the village. And then they asked him, do you have a black shor, right? And he says, actually, I do. I have this shor, and I'm looking to sell it for a very, very long time. It's a real difficult one. He's a real gorer, and he makes us a lot of trouble, and I can't do anything with him even to try to sell him for shechita. It doesn't work. And I went out, so how much do you want to sell it for? He says, really, the honest truth is, it's really worth 80. But you know what? I'll give it to you for 40. She says, deal. We'll take the shor. Every detail was there. says, okay, so I'm going to get a couple of people to come help tie it up so you can get it to be able to bring it, because it's really, really difficult. The son, knowing that this was Bnei Shemayim, he turned to the guy and says, don't worry, I'll handle it, I'll be okay. The son goes over to the shor and says, come, brings him with him, and the shor walks out like a little tattler, walks out together with him. The guy is standing there in amazement and watching the whole story, right? When they came back to the city, they went ahead, and they everyone got together, and everyone was very excited because they actually saw that he was matzliach to get the shor. They brought the sheikh, and he made the brach, and the rev was there, and they checked the lungs, and they saw that everything, and all the evarim, the limbs, to see that it wasn't a treifa, and there was eichet to be able to give pieces of this meat to all the aniyim, and even the maril was eichet to get a piece of that meat for Shabbos. So this Rav Yasher writes over there, you know, and it was a tremendous tikkun for the father's neshama. He writes over here, when people hear this story, they get impressed by the whole story of the, they get impressed by the maril. What impresses them about the maril, most people? But the honesty and the yashrus of the maril, that he was so clear that when tzedakah had to be raised for this purpose over here, he wanted to make sure that that tzedakah wasn't going to be used in an improper way, was not going to be used for something that wasn't justified, and making it clear that you have to give every single penny back to the ruble back to the people that you took it from. That's very impressive, right? And other people wind up being impressed about, you know, and you know how honest it was, and other people would have said, you know what, most of the story is there, you know, detail here, detail there, but look, it's pretty, now every detail had to be 100%, you know, there, and that's the honesty and the ashes of the maril. He says, that's not where I was in the sprawl from. That's not what impressed me, this Rav Yasher says. What impressed me is when I saw how the maril took into consideration to think what's going to be with this yid's panasa for that 1 week when he raised the money for the purpose of the shor, that he's worried about what's going to be with this yid's panasa for that week, that he's not going to have that he was worried about, and he went down to the needs of that person. And that's the pshat havi mistako ba'atzmecha kiilu atahani, like you're that person itself. And that's the Torah is showing us over and over again, with all the halachas, many of the halachas here, I shouldn't use the word all, but many of the halachas here, which are teaching us the idea of ben al mechaveru, to think of the other person, to think of the other person's feeling, to think of the other person's pain, to be sensitive to the other person's, whether we're dealing with an almana, whether we're dealing with an eved, whether we're dealing with any type of hezek that we wind up doing, to just identify and realize me. Israel, we're an am, we're a nation, we're all together. And when we feel each other's pain, believe me, with all the things going on in current events now, with the news, with the, you know, and they unfortunately had returned now, people which went out alive to families, and there was trickery as well, you know, with one of the people that was sent back. And it's such pain, such agmas nefesh. If we just learn from this week's parsha, we have to be able to be empathetic and to think of another person's needs, to daven for them, to worry about them, to live their needs, and to be able to be sensitive to that, then that brings the achdus between everyone together in Klal Yisrael, and with that, that should be a shua for all of us, for us, for all of our families, and we should be zeich to see the geula shleima b'kerv yameinu. Amen. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos and kol tov.